Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
My sister. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday. She would have been 23 today. So everything I do is for her, and she's watching over me. So that's all her.
That's Boston Celtics basketball star Isaiah Thomas dedicating a playoff high 53-point scoring performance to his late sister, Chyna, who died April 15th in a car accident. Since her death, the Celtics guard has been turning in some memorable playoff performances, but Isaiah's most spectacular came Tuesday night on what would have been Chyna's 23rd birthday. Thomas's 53 points powered the Celtics to a 129-119 overtime victory over the Washington Wizards. The Celtics now lead the best-of-seven second-round playoff series 2-0. At 5'9" tall, Isaiah Thomas has been described as the National Basketball Association's smallest superstar. But this season, Isaiah has been very big for the Celtics, especially near the end of games. Thomas tallied 20 points in the fourth quarter Tuesday night, and 9 more in the overtime period.
I mean, y'all know what time it is. When it's that time, it's time for me to be aggressive. My coaching staff and my teammates put me in a position to be successful. And I just try to make the right play each and every time down, whether that's a score or get a teammate open for them to score.
Isaiah Thomas's scoring heroics overshadowed a big game by Washington's all-star point guard, John Wall, who had 40 points and 13 assists. One of the basketball fans who's enjoying the playoff duel between Thomas and Wall is the now-retired Kevin Garnett, a 15-time NBA All-Star who won a championship with the Celtics in 2008.
Ooh, are you watching this IT and John Wall duo? Man, look, first off, shout-out to both John Wall and IT tonight. Y'all did y'all thing. Extra special shout out to IT tonight, man. You did your thing, and in all respects on why you did it, bro. I knew you was gonna have one of these special nights. I told you in the message. Keep playing inspired, keep playing for Chyna, bro. This is one of my favorite series right now. I hope everybody out here watching this. IT, keep doing your thing. Jay Wall, keep doing your thing. Keep leading your teams, bro. Ooh, it's lit.
Ooh, it sounds like Kevin Garnett is excited. Ooh! Game 3 in the Celtics-Wizards series is Thursday night right here in Washington. In another playoff result Tuesday night, the Golden State Warriors defeated the visiting Utah Jazz 106-94 to win Game 1 of their second-round playoff series. Star guard Stephen Curry scored a game-high 22 points for the Warriors in 3 quarters of work. The Warriors are aiming to return to the NBA Finals after losing last year to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the maximum 7 games. LeBron James and the Cavaliers will be back on the court later Wednesday night in Cleveland, where they'll host the Toronto Raptors in Game 2 of their playoff series. The Cavs won the opener 116-105. And in an all-Texas showdown, the 5-time champion San Antonio Spurs will host the Houston Rockets in Game 2 of their series. The Rockets powered past the Spurs in Game 1 126-99. The Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski, is taking a break from the show this evening. But I think Andrew might be interested in this social media tidbit concerning the Women's National Basketball Association, or WNBA. The WNBA will stream 20 games a year over the next few seasons on Twitter. The WNBA's president, Lisa Borders, says, and I quote, "We are thrilled to bring live WNBA games to Twitter, which will allow us to further showcase our league to a global audience. This partnership displays Twitter's extraordinary commitment to women's sports and the rising popularity of our athletes and our games. It's the first women's sport, basketball, to be live streamed on Twitter. The inaugural game will be the Dallas Wings against the Phoenix Mercury on May 14th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Voice of America is celebrating the 75th anniversary year of its first broadcast. The late American jazz great Louis Armstrong visited our VOA headquarters here in Washington to appear on Willis Conover's jazz program. And during one visit, Louis recorded this promotional announcement.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell. For Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest beta part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT. With another edition of Straight Talk Africa. In European club football, Monaco will host Juventus of Italy later Wednesday night in the first leg of the UEFA Champions League semifinals. This is the third time Monaco has reached the semifinals in Europe's top club competition. Its best showing was in 2004 when it lost in the final to Porto of Portugal 3-0 in Gelsenkirchen, Germany. Juventus, meanwhile, is a two-time European champion, with its last title coming in 1996. After this evening's match, Juventus will host the second leg on May 9th. In UEFA Champions League action Tuesday, Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat trick to lead Real Madrid to a commanding 3-0 victory over city rival Atletico Madrid in the first leg of their semifinal. Defending champion Real has won Europe's top trophy a record 11 times, and Ronaldo's stellar play has them closer to its third final in four seasons. Ronaldo scored with a header in the 10th minute, with a strike into the top corner in the 73rd minute, and a close-range shot in the 86th minute to give Real a comfortable lead going into the second leg May 10th at Atletico's Vicente Calderon Stadium. The stadium is named after the club's former president, who died in 1987 at age 73. VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
In pro boxing, we've been looking at Anthony Joshua's recent 11th round TKO victory over Vladimir Klitschko in a world heavyweight title fight at sold-out Wembley Stadium in London. For reaction, let's turn once again to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Brutal, bloody, cagey fight, and it was unbelievable. Everything before the round five was just filling out, you know. But when Anthony Joshua dropped Klitschko with a hook, man, that was just like nobody believed that Klitschko would get up. Even you could see Anthony Joshua raising his hand and celebrating that knockdown, thinking it was all over. And I was really worried for him because, you know, we talked about fighting an empty tank because he kind of pushed for the knockdown in the fifth round. And when you force the knockout as a fighter, you put in a lot of pressure on yourself and you leave yourself wide open.
Vladimir Klitschko did get up after that knockdown, Namdi. Remarkable comeback by the 41-year-old Klitschko. Let's move to round six where he knocks down Joshua. What happened there?
Son, in round six had me run into my medicine box for my Tylenol. It was a scary round. I thought the fight would have been over after the sixth round knockdown. But watching him getting off the canvas and holding on, it was a scary moment. Right there, I believe, right there I said to myself, this is the grand poob of boxing because he was out. Remember that before the fight, we talked about jello legs. We talked about spaghetti legs. He was wobbly. One more punch from Klitschko, it would have been over completely because he had to regroup and then come back because he was out in the sixth. Because, Sonny, remember, he has never been knocked down. He has never kissed the canvas, you know. To be able to pull yourself back, come back up, and then fight on. Yes, that was a good one. That was a very scary round, Sonny. It was a very scary round.
Namdi, let's listen to what Klitschko had to say after he knocked down AJ, because he thought he was going to win at that point.
He managed to get up. Respect. And Well, from that moment, I kind of felt that he's out of gas and in concentration, and he recovered, though, through the rounds. I think I could have done more to finish him up, maybe, right after when he went down. But I was pretty sure that that's going to be my night, so I took my time.
Klitschko said he wanted to take his time. He thought he was going to win Namdi. Maybe he took too much time because AJ was able to regroup.
Well, some people in the fight game believe that he let AJ off the hook. If he had stepped in a little bit more, the fight would have been over in the sixth round. If he had, like, after he had AJ down, then stepped right in and then run some of the combination and drop a couple of monster shots with a big right hand, we'll be talking about a different situation right now.
Mm.
So he let him off the hook. And in the fight game, you don't let people off the hook because they can come back and bite you. And that's what happened.
In the rounds that followed Namdi, 7, 8, 9, 10, did you see Joshua getting stronger?
No, it was the opposite. Vladimir Klitschko was getting stronger. Going into the 11th round, it was a very close fight, Sonny. Because if you go back and look at the scorecard after the fight, Klitschko was winning on one card in 95-93. AJ was 96-93 on one card. He was 95-93 on the second card. So going into the 11th round, it was a 50-50 anybody's fight. Because at that point, we're looking at those knockdowns, and Klitschko was still coming on strong at the age of 41.
The penultimate round, round 11, two knockdowns. Talk us through that, Namdi. How did AJ end up being victorious?
Son, if you remember before the fight, we talked about him, AJ, mounting a body attack, but fighting inside. Because if you look at the early round, he was at the end of the jab, and that Klitschko did not allow him in. And in the 11th round, when he was able to make the adjustment, fought inside, was able to run his combination, only to close it out with that huge uppercut, Sonny. I mean, those uppercuts reminded me of the uppercut Buster Douglas landed on Iron Mike Tyson in Tokyo, Japan, 1990. The best uppercut in the game, Sonny. I was scared when that uppercut landed on Klitschko, and Klitschko was still standing, Sonny.
I read one line from an Associated Press boxing writer, Joe DiPaolo, and he said that in defeat, Klitschko proved mightier than he ever had in victory. Your thoughts?
Sonny, remember how we laugh about his jab and grab style? And we were worried that this would be the style he'll bring to Wembley Stadium. This is the best we've ever seen him, Sonny. And this is for a man that's been out of the ring for 17 months at the age of 41. Come on, you got to give him his props. Not just props, you got to give him mega props, Sonny, because he fought, man.
Mega props.
Mega props, man. Mega props.
For both fighters, Namdi, I mean, they both showed so much courage and heart getting up from those shots.
Before the fight, we said, if these two giants don't engage, if these two big boys don't engage, it's going to be no fight. That we needed drama. We needed entertainment. And they delivered it for 90,000 people and millions of fans around the globe. And everybody was excited.
The American referee stepped in the 11th round and stopped the fight, Namdi. Good decision.
People beginning to question the decision. If I was in Vladimir's corner, I would have thrown in the white towel, Sonny. Because at that point, AJ was right there on top to finish it up. And look at the way he walked back to his corner after he finished the job, man. The swagger there, bro. Niger swagger, bro.
Namdi, Anthony Joshua looked bigger than Vladimir Klitschko at Wembley. And indeed, I think he weighed almost 10 pounds more than Klitschko. He weighed in at 250. Why the extra weight?
Well, you have to understand, Sonny, he was going into the ring with a guy that will lean over him for 12 rounds. And if you come in light and the guy will be way over you. Remember, he weighed 250 on Friday, which means Saturday night he will have been in the ring at 265, almost even 270, because the heavyweights, they eat big.
Mm.
So if you are really light and Klitschko was heavier than you, leaning over you, clinching and holding you, there was no way he could have gone till the 11th round. So the best move to come in heavy so that the foundation will be strong and the punch, when they land with the big power, it will hurt Klitschko. And that's what happened. So all these people saying he came in too heavy. No, it was a good move by his camp to come in at 250, which means at fight night, he will be like 265.
Namdi, at the post-fight news conference, AJ.
I have the ultimate respect for him of what he's achieved inside and outside of the ring. I wouldn't mind fighting him again if he wants to rematch, no problem.
Do you expect a rematch?
Sonny, before the fight, they had what we called a rematch clause in the contract, which means there must be the second fight. But what we do now, we're waiting for Vladimir Klitschko to exercise the option, which means he will have to notify AJ's camp that he's ready for the rematch, which means that in 30 days, we can hear from Klitschko to say, well, I want a rematch, which I believe the fight fans want to see a rematch.
Right after the fight, though, Namdi, AJ called out Tyson Fury. What about Fury as a future opponent?
The Gypsy King, Sonny. Did you hear his quote? Let me get that to you. This is what Tyson Fury said after he was called out in front of 90,000 people. I can beat Anthony Joshua with one arm tied behind my back. A silly quote from the Gypsy King. We might as well put one patch of our eye. which means to say he needs one eye, and he's called him a weightlifting punk and all the names. Which just goes to show you that if that fight is made, we're talking about huge people are going to be fighting to get into the stadium because Gypsy King Tyson Fury. He makes all this crazy statement and people buy it. But he's got to go before the British Boxing Board of Control to answer to the charges of cocaine and steroids. And right now, Sonny, he weighs 400 pounds. He looks like a sumo wrestler. I don't see this bro getting ready for any fight soon with Anthony Joshua because Vladimir will exercise the option to go for the rematch. The fight fans will buy it. 90,000 people will show up again. And Tyson Fury will need to get his act together. Look for Tyson Fury maybe in 2018, not anytime soon, because one more fight for AJ before the year runs out.
What about Deontay Wilder, another unbeaten fighter, Namdi?
Deontay Wilder is an American. Deontay Wilder has fought a bunch of bombs. He can punch, but he's been punching bombs. Deontay Wilder is not a pay-per-view draw. Deontay Wilder has not fought in Las Vegas or Madison Square Garden. He fights in Alabama. Alabama is not a big market. Anthony Joshua just did 90,000 people at the Wembley Stadium. Fight fans in America don't really think much of Deontay Wilder because he's yet to fight a live opponent. So Deontay Wilder will have to sit down and wait until Joshua and Klitschko do round two.
It was a great night. Great night for boxing, great night for fans.
Great night of boxing at Wembley, Namdi, 90,000 fans. What was the purse for each fighter?
Well, Sonny, on the front end, Anthony Joshua made £15 million. So when you break him off in the back end, which is the pay-per-view and the foreign TV rights, he's going to pick up another £10 million. So homeboy will be going home with close to £25 million, which is no chicken change for anybody.
What about Klitschko, Namdi? What was his prize money?
Oh, Sonny was a 50-50 split for both guys. Same thing, you know, because Klitschko did not go to the UK to pick up chicken change, you know. Same thing, $15 million up front. They break you off on the back end on from the pay-per-view split and all that. Klitschko will be going home to Ukraine with close to £25 million.
That's definitely not chicken change, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And that wraps up the May 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
A free and democratic society cannot exist without a free and independent press. Whether it be traditional print and broadcast media, or newer formats including blogs, websites, and other digital platforms, press freedom can keep the citizenry informed and can facilitate broad human communication. An unfettered press can expose corruption, report on the pros and cons of important issues, clarify laws and policies, and facilitate the exchange of ideas and public discussion. This is important because in a free society, the government derives its legitimacy from the electorate, and informed voters are less easily led and more likely to hold their government to account when they cast their ballots. Clearly, protection of press freedom reinforces freedom of expression, which includes the right to seek, receive, and impart information, and allows individuals to make informed decisions. Despots the world over know this, and that is why they strive to keep a tight rein on the media and on the journalists who dig up information that may harm the censor's cause. May 3rd is World Press Freedom Day. This day of observance was established by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, to raise awareness of the importance of press freedom and to remind people around the globe that in dozens of countries, publications are censored, fined, suspended, and closed down, while journalists, editors, and publishers are harassed, attacked, detained, and even murdered. It is a day of support for media in danger of being censored or shut down, and a remembrance for those journalists who lost their lives while exercising their profession. And it is an admonition to governments everywhere that they have a responsibility to protect press freedom and freedom of expression, a universally recognized human right. Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States and one of the country's most influential founders, once wrote that were it left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter. The basis of our governments being the opinion of the people, he wrote, the very first object should be to keep that right.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.